Welcome to episode 78 of Frank Reactions, the show where we help you profit from the digital era through better customer experiences online and off. My name's Tema Frank. A long, long time ago, in the early days of e-commerce, I naively thought that if a company was asking for my email, it was so they could notify me of sales and coupons and do things that were valuable for me. I hadn't really stopped to think about all the data that that simple act of giving them my email address was giving them, especially as e-commerce becomes more and more of a role and email is often the link between what we're doing online and offline. Today's guest gives us some insight into how some companies are combining our emails and our purchase behaviors to predict what we'll want next and to offer it to us at the right time. Martin Aubut is the digital director of L'Oréal Canada, which has some 35 health and beauty brands under its umbrella, including many you've heard of like Lancôme, Yves Saint Laurent, Biotherm, Diesel, the list goes on. One thing that I didn't leave in the interview, but it's just too good not to tell you, is I discovered at the end of our conversation that in his previous life, before he joined L'Oréal, Martin actually ran the biggest online dating site in French Quebec. As he put it, that was the social network then. And what's really cool about that is he met the woman who later became his wife and is now the mother to their two children on that dating site. If you're a regular listener, you've often heard me give little jargon alerts before we get into an episode. And today I have both a jargon alert and an accent alert because Martin is French-Canadian and has a French accent. So there may be times where you have a little bit of trouble making out exactly what he said. And so there are a couple of things I just wanted to clarify. So first of all, on the jargon side, SKU is stock keeping unit. That's retail jargon that refers to basically a particular item or type of item. So a stock keeping unit would be all of product X in a particular color and a particular size. So there's your jargon alert. Now for the accent and vocabulary alert, two things really struck me. One is he was talking about a brand and he kept saying Kills, Kills. And I realized eventually that it was Kiehl's, K-I-E-H-L apostrophe S, which is one of the brands that they run. And another phrase that he uses is COMEX, which refers to the executive committee. So at the end, he talks about training all the COMEX staff on some of the digital things. And if you're wondering why you should even care about what's going on in Montreal with the Canadian branch operation of a big brand, it's because Canada is often used as a testing ground by global brands and American brands when trying to figure out what's going to work and what isn't. Yes, there are definitely a lot of differences between Canadians and Americans, but there are enough similarities that often the head office can actually test out ideas and learn from the Canadian operation. So sit back, enjoy the interview, and I'll chat with you briefly at the end.
Hi, my name is Martin Aubut. I'm a digital director for L'Oréal Canada. So L'Oréal Canada has 35 brands in the beauty industry. And so it's been 5 years I'm at this position, transforming the organization.
Okay. And so in your role then, what exactly do you do? What does that entail?
Pretty much, we've got three main objectives. So the first one is to it's e-commerce. So a part of our weight of business would be e-commerce. And the second one, it's we call it 50% of one-to-one relationship with our consumer. So this is a CRM part of it, the data, you know, aspect of and the relationship with the consumer. And the other one, it's 100%. So that means 100% love brands, engagement with consumer. So, you know, like the way we talk, social media, and so on. So basically, my role is to transform L'Oréal Canada from a product-centric organization that we were 6 years ago to a consumer-centric organization. And pretty much our vision is to bring total consumer experience to our consumer across all touch points. So that means on the website, that means when they go to retail, we've got now point of sales. We are retailers with Kiehl's, with Knix, and so on. And after that, in the customer service, at the customer service level, and e-retail, Amazon now, and our retailers, our customers or retailers, let's say Walmart, Shoppers, Jean Coutu, and so on. Right. So my role is to make sure we achieve those objectives, we transform the organization, and we achieve that by leveraging digital and technology.
Wow, it sounds like a pretty massive job.
It is.
It's a lot of different touch points and outlets and to try and manage. So how did you even start tackling a job like that? Where did you begin?
Yes, good question. So that was not my first transformation I've done. So basically, when you arrive, you want to make sure that you understand the culture of the organization. And, and pretty much for me, by being in a meeting and so on, it was clear that we were, you know, like the business is driven by CPD, you know, so mass brand like L'Oréal Paris, Maybelline, Garnier, this is all brands from L'Oréal. And this is the distribution channel is retail. So we don't have really data about consumer from those channels. So pretty much we decide what would be our vision and our objective. So that was from a product-centric organization to consumer. So I guess everybody understand this. And instead of saying like it's a digital transformation, we came back and we said, no, it's not digital transformation. It's more like how we are able to be relevant to our consumer in every touch point. So, and this was really clear.
Yes.
So the first thing we've done, actually, we wrote it on the wall, and I can send you a picture. But I know it's a
podcast. Oh, do that, actually. That would be great to put with the article.
It's on my wall, actually, but I can write pretty much on all my walls in my office. And so we kept this there, and everybody knows about it. And so we said, so if we want to be consumer-centric, what we need to know? So we started to say about it's pretty basics, right? We need to understand who is our consumer, okay? So because consumer, that was who have the relationship with a consumer in direct at the point of sale was the retailers and the e-retailers like Sephora, The Bay, and Walmart, and so on. Let's do e-commerce, right? A direct-to-consumer e-commerce 5 years ago in Canada, we were kind of late in terms of e-commerce.
So well, by Canadian standards, not so late.
Actually, we had to create the standard to make sure that, you know, what 60% at that time of the sales e-com was happening in U.S. You know, Canadian was buying offshore. So they were doing cross-border. So because the offers was kind of none. So we decided to say, okay, let's take one, two brands that was, I remember at that time, Lancome and Biotherm, to and test what would be our life if we understand consumer data directly. So this would with e-commerce. E-commerce, for me, that's pretty much the big learning here. It's when you want to transform organization, you know, big organization like this, like L'Oréal, through a new framework of thinking with digital. It's when you drive e-commerce, you need to really understand what is the traffic sources, right? So the attribution model, so where your customer came from, and you have the disinformation, you know, from Google Analytics. We implement Google Analytics in all our websites. So we train everybody on Google Analytics. So we'll have, in 6 months, all the marketers, traditional marketers, will be certified Google Analytics.
Nice.
So for us,
okay.
the foundation, the first thing you have to do if you want to transform organization and be consumer-centric is to collect the information the right way, and being able to analyze it real time. So that's what we've done. After that, we put analytics on that to make sure we understand where we're putting our media, what our consumer were doing, where they came from, and what is the purchase cycle, and how they interact with offline channel and online channel. This is the omni-channel we all talk about now.
Right. So how do you track that then? How do you get a sense of what individual consumers are doing in the omni-channel world, given that there is this big gap between the online and offline?
Let me give you an example of Kiehl's. Kiehl's, it's our skincare brand. I like to call it the hipster brand a little bit. And it's and it's all based on customer service. I love it. It's one of my personal brand that I like to work with. It's like the playground. We've done a lot of things with this brand, and pretty much the way we're able to track it, it's, you know, you've got different ways, like the email, right? So we're starting with the email. We do a diagnostic. It can be online, offline. And after that, it's when a consumer arrives from the website and is going to the store. So it's the email will follow. So that's this way we can track that is a consumer that right. is coming from online and now is going to the store. And when a consumer come back, we know pretty much what he purchased, what is the diagnostic, to make sure we give them the best service ever, right, in all the platforms. So just an example, you arrive to the Kiehl's store, and from the diagnostic, after that, we can communicate in email. Email is still really big, huh? So yes. Email, it's still a really good way to communicate. It might change. We see, you know, trends with the bots, you know, like with Messenger, Facebook yeah. Messenger. We see WhatsApp, WeChat, you know, a lot of apps from yeah. China, because the population of Canada is 12% immigration, right? And from the 12%, we've got 6% of them is Chinese, and the rest is East Indian. So we see a lot mm-hmm. of those ways that they do marketing in their country that's coming in Canada. So basically, it's to make sure that the database are talking to each other.
Okay. And so did that require integrating systems or scrapping systems and replacing them with new ones?
Yes. So you're totally both? Right. Both. I guess when you decide to transform your thinking and your planning, and this goes to your brief of your marketing team and agency. So yeah. you have to change the way you work, right? So mm-hmm. so first on process of briefing, the creativity and so on, and using the data. And the second thing is the foundation. So you need to have a good backbone of, we like to call it the stack, the marketing mm-hmm. stack, where you've got different technology that you have to control and understand. Huh? So the L'Oréal, it was not a tech business, huh? And it will never be a tech business. It's not Amazon. But we mm-hmm. have to embrace it and making sure that at least we're able to control our destiny in terms of code. So, yes, we have to change the platform, the process, training the staff at the store level to acquire the email, to use information mm-hmm. to give a better services. So to your question, you have to totally rethink the way you do and mm-hmm. think about consumer, leveraging the data, making sure that the whole ecosystem of people and process are adapted. And for sure, you need to have a strong foundation that can evolve with consumer needs and technology mm-hmm. needs that evolving every month.
So when you talk about becoming consumer-focused instead of product-focused, is your goal then to capture, let's say, that a consumer who comes in as a customer because they like a particular product or line of products, as they age, let's say their needs will change. Like, where, I guess I'm trying to get a handle of, in a practical sense, what does that shift mean?
L'Oréal Canada, it's 35 brands.
Right.
So 35 brands that addressing different segments of the population, right?
Yeah.
So you've got a mass brand within, like we discussed with L'Oréal Paris, to, you know, luxury brands like Yves Saint Laurent, Biotherm, Lancôme, and so on, right? So basically, the fundamentals of the organization was more in silo, right? It's every brand has their own database, okay?
So that
was one of the biggest opportunities, huh? To see L'Oréal Canada as an ecosystem of brand.
Yeah.
So when you're consumer-centric, you need to understand your consumer to bring them value, huh? It's everything we do, it's permission-based. Right, so consumers decide to interact with the brands because they love the brands and they want to share. And after that, they see value by giving example postal code, skin type, because everybody have a beauty goal. Huh? Let's go this way.
Mm-hmm.
Some people it's aging, some people it's acne, and you know, so it depends of your life cycle, your beauty needs will change. So basically, we are now collecting information if the consumer wants it and if it makes sense to achieve their goal, their beauty goal. And for mm-hmm. sure, so we're able within technology now and digital, because it's all the era we talk about artificial intelligence, predictive modeling, and deep learning. Mm-hmm. So within the data, we're able to be smarter on when to approach a consumer within the right offers, within the right time, and the right perceived value. And across mm-hmm. their life cycle, right? How we see it, it's a consumer when her mom purchasing for her because she's a teenager, her first acne product, you know? And from that, the young ladies will grow up, and after that, it will be her first mascara with her own money in the Maybelline brands. And from time to time, she will have her first job, and after that, different needs. She will start to be, maybe she will be a mom, and when your mom will see, and with, when we're looking at the data, the old purchase behavior is changing, because now it's not only you, but it's the family value, and so on. So, so it's really interesting to see with big data, or what I like to call it smart data, to predict consumer life events and how we can help address their beauty needs. And after that, we'll look at how the business model goes around. And so far, it seems that is a good way to do.
So when you're using big data, are you, for your source of information and for doing the predictions, are you basing that on what you're seeing in changes in that person's purchasing patterns? Or are you bringing in their social media data? Or both? Like, are you using other types of data other than just what they've bought?
Yeah, so this I cannot go too deep because it's strategic, and a lot of organizations starting to crack their code on this now. But let's go on the rationale. Basically, it's you've got some implicit and explicit data, so you've got different sources, different ways you can get like a known data. So it's a consumer gives the information. And after that, you've got another set of data from cookie that we can call it external data. And the magic happens when you're able to bridge both of those words, well, then, and understanding what the data is saying about this, right?
Now, to what extent, in a big multinational organization like L'Oréal, to what extent do you share data with other countries? Or is it, and to what extent is the marketing consistent? Like, what is the role of L'Oréal Canada versus L'Oréal brand globally?
Globally, we've got L'Oréal Group. So L'Oréal Group is in Paris, and we play a role for the group as an innovator, since in Canada we've got a lot of good developers, good marketers, and we are perfect countries to test things, right? And because we're 10% less than U.S., so we're able to test. And I don't know if you know, but Montreal is one of the hub of data science in the world. So it's, so we play this role with the group, within the group. And for your other question about the consumer, what we think, it's not about total consumer experience. So if you're traveling, right, travel retail. So if you go in a Kiehl's store in Canada and you go to a Kiehl's store in China, we should be able to recognize you.
Right. Wow. So you do need to connect those databases globally then.
We're not now. Okay, we're not now. And when we'll do it, the consumer will agree about it, right? It's permission-based. So, but to me, I always come back and say, what will give the most value to the consumer? And if it's the best value, it's the consumer has been recognized, so we can get the points from his loyalty program and so on, across all the Kiehl's store around the world. Why not? You know, so it's really the consumer is giving us a direction on what we should do.
Well, it's interesting because from a consumer perspective, on the one hand, many of us are resentful about giving away so much data and information. On the other hand, if I'm going to get ads, I'd rather get ads that are relevant to me than irrelevant to me. So it's sort of a bit of a trade-off there, I guess.
You're so right, huh? It's chicken and egg, right? So I don't know if you have the answer, but I guess it's all about value, right? It's to be really clear on what you will do with the information. And that the consumer sees value, I guess it's the best approach than trying to hide things, right?
Right. So tell me about how you use social media, both for marketing and for customer service.
Good question. So social media, you know, when we started 5 years ago, we were acquiring fans. That was the first thing we've done. And one of my first move I've done when I arrived, because, you know, when you arrive in a company, everybody say, okay, what this guy would do. So the first move, the easiest move we've done, it's we pretty much bring internally the community manager. So they were an agency. Yeah. So we bring them really close from PR and really close from product manager.
Okay.
Because you know, it's really connected. Huh? It's a story. So at the end, how we see social networks, having the right stories, it's a big story. So what is the big idea, the big inside idea? Stories. And after that, we distribute these stories using media, using social networks, using bloggers, website, and so on, right? And newsletter. So
Okay.
So this is how we see it. And what? And now it's more and more in media, and it's a big part of the mobile strategy.
Yes.
Because you know we see in media ad blockers. It's not a trend. It's real ad blocker. It's real.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So and it's okay, huh? It's life. We have to adapt. Consumer is at the driving seat. Mm-hmm. So we need to be relevant to win the share of heart of them looking at our posts and content that we post on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest, and so on. And now it's Snapchat. It's all the new platform will arrive. But this is at the end, it's different context when we can talk to consumer. And we have the same story, but we adapt it to the context and the platform. So this is a lot of, it's really costly now, social media. It's costly because you have to create a lot of type of content, right?
Yep.
To adapt to context and platform. So right now for one big stories or campaign, I like to call it more stories.
Yes.
It's maybe 15, you have to decline is the right word in English, but you have to readapt 15 times, right? Because you know, the way you will create your content for Instagram is different than Facebook.
So to customize it for each location.
We had to create a content factory. We're the first content factory in the world. Where
I saw about that, yeah.
Yeah, so we are able to create our own content really fast and relevant for consumer at the right time and adapting to context. So social media, it's really core on engaging with a consumer. You know, we're inviting ourselves now. We're trying not to push only in ads, but we invited people to share their passion. They're really passionate. When they talk about shades, brows, they talk about makeup, skincare, consumer really passionate about it. So this is first thing. Yes, and the second thing, the other question is customer service. You're totally right. So now people, instead of calling, some people are still calling.
Yeah.
But we see that the community manager that we hired 5 years ago, so now they're starting to be more like content strategists, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're redefining now. I cannot go too deep too because it's a subject, it's a project. So we're redefining customer service because customer service pretty much where it's happening now, it's on Facebook and Messenger.
Right. Okay.
And the future, it may be bots. Right, so Messenger.
Well, exactly.
Bots.
Yeah.
So we have to rethink it because now when they are on social platform, consumer is they think they are too. Huh? And we have to be there. They are talking to the brand expert. They are talking to
yes.
Any question you have on product, on where's my order? You know, like we do e-commerce.
Yeah.
And people go on Facebook and they ask where's my order.
Yes. So you've got to staff those up. So it means that the people who are staffing your social media, you have to, well, I think you said this earlier, that you've got both your PR folks and your customer service folks involved. So that
yes, it needs to be integrated more and more, right? You know, you need to avoid silos, and this is true. Like,
yes.
Consumer don't care if it's digital or the platform, you know, they want to have a good answer and they want to live 100% their passion of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So it's our job at the end to structure the right foundation on the tools, on the process, and on the role. So the structure we see now will be different in the near future, right? So role is changing to make sure that we are having good stories integrated and we're able to answer consumer needs in every touch point.
How do you deal with the fact that so much of your product is sold through retailers? So a lot of the way people perceive your brand to a certain extent is influenced by what's going on at the retail level. How do you ensure that those retailers are presenting your brand in a way that's consistent with your story?
Really good point. So I guess a new frontier of digital, it's retail.
Yes.
So because first retailers are adapting themselves fast, right? So you've got e-retail, pure players, so a lot of things change, and the role of the store is changing too. So our objective it's to make sure that a consumer who's going to, let's say, L'Oréal Paris site, and when they're going to Walmart's site, they will get the same product information and experience.
And what about pricing? How do you deal with pricing?
Yeah, pricing, actually, it's pretty much the same retail, suggests retail price, and the retailers will play with the different drivers, right?
Okay.
But after that, the package their offers. But for us, we have to look at first its branding. So make sure that actually, if I can keep it simple for you, it's we teach now our product manager to do they do retail store check. They look at the merchandising and so on. So now they do the same thing, but in all the channel online. So it's the right information, the right ingredients, the right pictures, the right, and to make sure that we are relevant. And now we're starting to have tools like PIM and DAM. PIM is a product information management that will be soon connected to different distributor, retailers, to make sure that we've got easy way to share the right content to distributors and the right experience.
Ah, so more and more automation to make sure that everything gets spread out. Yeah.
You're totally right. And with the amount of SKU, the SKU we have, and a lot of industry have to address this real subject.
Yes.
Brand equity that is perfect across channel.
Yeah, yeah. So, Martin, what is, in your life right now, what's the most challenging thing that you're dealing with?
You know, when we're building now here a little bit of context, we're building, we call it L'Oréal Canada Digital. So it's like a startup into L'Oréal. So our office is in L'Oréal, but it's a different layout of office. And we've got expert in e-commerce and data, programmatic, and so on, right?
Okay.
So the challenge now, it's we grow fast, right? So we see that consumer, they change fast their behaviors within, you know, like the penetration of mobile is clear. So a lot of things happening now in tech, and just, you know, the way we buy media with programmatic, it changed a lot, right? So we need to hire talent and make them evolve in the organization. And our dream is to make sure that we're not having a digital unit in 3 years from now.
That it all becomes incorporated.
Integrated, yeah. So what I'm trying to speed up, that I'm focusing to make sure that we give the right legacy, and we're not like another unit of the organization, but something that's organic, right? We create a halo effect the way we do business. You know, we put in place last year, it's called reverse mentoring. During, we've done the same thing in Canada, starting with the COMEX. And in a small group of 15, we train full day all product managers and marketers of the company. So for me, it's how we can scale this education. It's how we can recruit always those great talents that they are digital savvy, but they can become product manager.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They can be like a top marketers too, in the same time that they are specific into data science, let's say. You know, it's something that it's kind of complex, it's different type of personality. But this is pretty much what I'm trying to find out with the team here. It's how I make sure that everybody is happy in their role, they can evolve, they can be happy, accelerate digital within marketing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is it's a human more aspect than technology. Technology we can manage. I can say 70% of transformation challenges, it's a human being.
Absolutely.
Yes, totally.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time. It's not often that you hear the terms artificial intelligence, predictive modeling, and deep learning in the same sentence as achieving beauty goals. But clearly, those two are becoming more and more closely intertwined. There were several things that Martin had to say that I think are really important to note. One is that if you want to transform an organization to become customer-centric, You've got to start right away by getting to understand your customers, collecting real-time, in-depth information on them, and learning to link your online and offline data so that you can actually look for what are the relationships that predict what customers actually want and how you can deliver greater value to them. I think it's also crucial, especially in product-based companies like L'Oreal, some of the traditional ones, to break down those product-based silos and take a larger view of the customer and organize around customer segments rather than brands. That's an idea that was advocated by Niraj Dawar in episode 7 of Frank Reactions when he talked about research for his book Tilt. And if you haven't heard that episode, you might want to go back and listen to it. It's at frankreactions.com/7, the digit number 7. Finally, keep testing, adapting, and changing, because your customers are, and things are changing so quickly. You simply can't afford to say we figured out the magic formula and then rest on your laurels. It just isn't going to work like that ever again, I don't think. So that's it for today. If you can't wait a whole week to hear me talk some more, I've been doing a ton of podcast interviews about my new book, People Shock. And so you can go and listen to some of those. I've done interviews recently with people like John Lee Dumas of Entrepreneur on Fire, or Adam Toporek and Jeannie Walters on Crack the Customer Code, and Douglas Burdett, host of the Marketing Book Podcast, which is now iTunes' #2 business podcast. Congratulations, Douglas Burdett. And I gotta say, it has quickly become one of my favorite podcasts. So you can find all those interviews and more at frankreactions.com/PS interviews. So PS as in people shock. Of course, I'd be thrilled if you do pick up a copy of the book, and I'd be especially honored if you'd post a review of it on Amazon. Although Doug did review it on his website rather than on Amazon, I just want to read you a few of the things that he had to say. Quote, "In People Shock, Tema Frank separates the signal from the noise and outlines how to survive and profit handsomely in this high-tech era by focusing on an ingeniously simple 3P formula of promise, people, and process. If you are a CEO or other leader who wants better results and are willing to take action, you will not regret reading this book." End quote. Am I starting to sound too self-promotional, reading review clips every episode? If I'm getting obnoxious, will you please tell me? You can email me, tema@frankreactions.com. But if you've ever spent 4 years working on a book, you'll probably understand how exciting it is to hear people say such wonderful things, and maybe you'll understand why I want to share that. Just as iTunes reviews of podcasts help people find the good podcasts, and so please do rate Frank Reactions if you haven't yet, Amazon and other reviews of books are crucial to helping spread the message, in this case, of why and how to deliver better customer experiences online and off. So if you do pick up a copy of People Shock, please, I'd be truly grateful if you'd post a review on Amazon and tell your friends about it. Talk to you again in a week. Bye.